the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now.
One of the best things about the 21st century has been the variety of creative ways radio has evolved.
Really? That's one of the best things? It's not been the best century, then.
It's been slim. But the legacy of Marconi is in good hands with Alex Lefchik and the Midweek Drivettes. So we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
Here's the thing. We're a team of thieves.
And when you do this, you're bound to make enemies. Sometimes those enemies come looking for revenge.
Truth be told, we helped the wrong person steal the wrong thing. We didn't mean to unleash the greatest evil the world has ever known. But we're gonna fix it.
So how do we pull that off?
Figure it out over a drink?
Probably best.
You need cool
to give us a fighting chance. We're gonna need strength. You got this, right?
I know you don't.
We also need courage. Back to school. Magic. And you.
What is that again?
It's an owlbear.
Let's go!
Be warned. There is evil here.
I'm glad he's on our side.
This one's dangerous.
But whatever happens,
we'll be ready.
Exactly that you bring to this?
I'm a planner. I make plans.
You've already made the plan, so...
If the existing plan fails, I make a new plan.
So you make plans that fail?
No.
He also plays the lute.
Not relevant.
Okay, so how do we actually move on to this joyous time of Midweek Drive Morning Edition within the season of Easter? Well, clearly, we need to turn to our Australian correspondent who's going to actually take us from obviously the resurrection down to the Dungeons and Dragons of despair, although it has got Chris Pine in. So let's face it, despite the fact that unfortunately Honor Among Thieves is incorrectly spelt using American English H-O-N-O-R as opposed to H-O-N-O-U-R. I know, Natasha, it's shocking. And we'll just have to hope that Kathy doesn't go completely ballistic on the basis of once again, you know, this kind of takeover of American English takes place in Hollywood as well. Natasha, your thoughts on Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves?
Oh, no, I'm not going to have to sit on Kathy, am I? I hope not. That wouldn't be fair. No. Yes, so this is... It's very different to the original animated version they did back in 2000. I'll give you that. Brand new out, only been out a couple of weeks, I believe. Really happy to see lots of people at the cinema at this one. It was proving quite popular this Easter weekend. Not quite as popular as the Mario movie, but, you know, you can't win them all. Chris Pratt, obviously too alluring. So, yes, it's a fantasy heist. It's obviously from the trailers, you can probably tell if you've seen them, there's a lot of comedy. We're going down that sort of family Sunday afternoon kind of theme that is my sweet spot. So let's get into the plot. So prior to imprisonment, Bard Edgin spends years as a member of the Harpers. But when a weird wizard kills his wife and leaves his daughter without a mother, he sort of falls off the rails a little bit and turns to drink, and indeed turns to thieving, and his honorable ways are no more. Getting together a small band of sorcerers, rogues, and indeed a wizard, They attempt to steal a relic that will bring back Edmund's wife. Now, unfortunately, and I can't, this is not a spoiler because this happens in the first couple of minutes of the movie, it doesn't go as planned. And during the heist, it would seem that they are double-crossed. Uh-oh. Consequently, we jump back to present and we find Edgin and Barbarian Holger looking to attempt an escape from prison. They manage to successfully do so with the help of Jonathan, not Jonathan, and make an escape to go and rescue Edgin's daughter. Now, we don't really know much about her at this point, only that she was left in the care of their rogue friend, Forge, played by none other than the absolutely amazing Hugh Grant. Can I just say that Hugh Grant's performance in this movie was the standout performance I have seen him in. He was absolutely brilliant. And if you go to see this movie for nothing else, go and see it for Hugh Grant. That is my little takeaway from this piece. Now, Forge has done very well for himself. Forge has got himself a kingdom. He's got lots of money and he's taken in Edgin's daughter as his own and started to raise her. And it's given him a bit of a god complex. Not that it needed much of a push to get him there. And subsequently tries to murder them. Now, this starts them all off on a bit of a quest to take back their daughter and to bring down Forge and his conniving wizard accomplice. So it is a bit silly in places. It is very, very fun. It's kind of, it's not one that you need to know much about the Dungeons and Dragons world to get into. But there are Easter eggs for the fans of the series. So I feel like it's one that you won't be disappointed with if you are a fan of the franchise, but don't use that as a barrier to this film. It's really good fun. I had my boss went to see it. She took her family. She's never played Dungeons and Dragons in her life. She still gave it a 7 and she still thoroughly enjoyed it, even without knowing any of the references or anything that was going on. Visually, absolutely gorgeous. The CGI in it is pretty believable all the way through. It's pretty good. They've obviously spent a lot of money on that budget, which in this kind of movie you need. Generally, characters were selling themselves well. I thought that particularly the character of Simon, the sorcerer, who's got a bit of a he's got a bit of a confidence complex. I thought that he was sold really well by Justice Smith. Some parts of it, the dialogue is a little bit, that's convenient. Some of the plot points are a little bit like, ooh, that just kind of happened to work out for you. But no, overall, it's a really good movie. It keeps you hooked if you like this sort of thing. And it I think it portrays the franchise and the world and the fun of it very well. I would go to an 8.5. And that's just, and it drops a couple of marks, just as I say, because sometimes the stiffness of a line or the silliness kind of jolts you a little bit, and then that just doesn't quite give you that fully smooth kind of watcher sort of melt away into the movie. That would be the only reason I wouldn't give it higher. Yeah.
Well, there we are. Does it have any canine small dogs that might be there, or indeed small dogs who have paralyzed limbs in there?
No, it doesn't.
Because I think so it's got a beast dragon, but not obviously a cute canine. I mean, Kathy, that might tip the balance, having recently experienced the Easter pantomime at the Lincoln New Theatre Royal, in which, of course, the Wizard of Oz was there. And Adida, I believe you met aforementioned canine with challengers.
Yes, if you're referring to Pumpkin, I did get to meet Pumpkin. It was very brief. I wish I had more time for cuddles. But I did. I did meet this cute dog that played Toto so well. He was a good dog.
There we are, of course, still going through the Easter season, of course, at the Theatre Royal Lincoln. And did you enjoy the whole production?
Yes. I liked how involved the kids got. Like, I thought that was such a pleasant thing to see because I feel like I don't see like kid engagement in public areas, I guess, you know? I see them more on phones and video games kind of thing. So it was just kind of nice to see this like really friendly atmosphere. Although I got really nervous with the American accents. Watching the show, I was really concerned. And the leads, they did great. Dorothy sounded like Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, even the Cowardly Lion, who was French, did not sound French. But then there were some other characters that couldn't quite commit to the American accent. So it's okay. I get it. It's hard, but it was scary for a moment.
Yeah, Natasha, for the benefit of yourself and the listener, Kathy was experiencing her first ever pantomime in ever, basically, at the Theatre Royal Lincoln, the new Theatre Royal Lincoln. We sent her off together with Hermione Heraclitus to actually go and experience just as a citizen in the audience, the
I
joys
even
of the
got a picture
pantomime
for
as
you,
well.
Alex.
I saw all three pictures. And they may well emerge in all sorts of ways, basically. But that's a whole range of other sort of factors that are actually there. So we're going to use that. But what about Dungeons and Dragons Honor, spelled incorrectly, Among Thieves? Is that something which you're going to be going for?
Okay, it's kind of funny that I was literally just having this conversation with my trainer at the gym, because he's really into Dungeons and Dragons. And this also sparked a whole, I mean, I want to see it just from your description alone. He hyped me up for it too. I think it's pushing me in the direction.
Got
But I
Chris
was
Pine.
curious. Alex, Natasha, have you played Dungeons and Dragons? And if so, what is your character?
No, is the short answer from my own point of view, and not any intention to do so either, is the follow-up. Natasha,
Why are you against D&D?
there's too much experience going on in real life without sort of immersing myself in a multi-platform role-player game. Natasha.
That's fair. We do live in a box.
I've never done it. I've never actually played a Dungeons and Dragons game. I'm very much into fantasy MMORPGs. I very much would like to do a Dungeons and Dragons game. It's just trying to find a group to do it with. I generally tend to play sort of mage sorceress characters. I much prefer the ranged sort of magic side of things as opposed to more of my father's role, which tends to be hit things with a big stick. So glorifying combat methods. But no, I am desperate to get a group together and play sometime. It's something that I would very much like to do. I know my father, interestingly enough, I don't know whether or not they used to do this overseas, but my father used to do it was a Dungeons and Dragons game, and you could play and you'd make your own armor and you'd suit up and you get weapons like tennis balls and stuff. If you're a wizard, you'd have swords. If you or you'd have like cardboard swords, and they dip them in paint, and there'd be monsters, and people would pay you, and you'd go around and actually pretend to do a dungeon, and you'd throw tennis balls, and if the tennis balls with your paint hit the creature, it'd kill it, and it was actually a proper like experience. You could go like an escape room, I guess, but this was back in the 70s. I don't know if they ever had anything like that in the States, but it was
Yeah, I
around in the.
wouldn't know that. That sounds remarkable.
I would love to have done something like that. I think it would be jolly good fun. So no, I'm all up for it. Do you play, Kathy?
I am thinking of getting into it. I keep getting, I haven't exactly found a group, but I have found some people that are trying to introduce it to new people. So I think maybe just like kind of hanging out and hoping that a group forms. Well, because why not? It seems like an interesting thing to do, and I can get behind it. You know, I can't, maybe I won't like it and I'll give it up then, but I'm interested to try.
Well, there we are. And of course, as you come from the state that's actually designated the official fantasy world of Disney and so on, clearly it doesn't surprise me that you haven't engaged in Dungeons and Dragons yet. But there we are. So it goes. Let's go back to the movie. Is this one you're going to be seeing, Kathy?
Is there what? Sorry.
Is Dungeons and Dragons the movie, despite on the basis of Natasha's review and your trainer's review, is that something that you're going to definitely head off to go and see?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see it.
There we have it. Up next, we will be going to Malaysia. Yes, I'll say that again, Malaysia, where we'll be speaking to an up-and-coming songstress called Mardiana, who's actually just released her latest single, Don't Cry For Me. That's just Don't Cry For Me. No South American country after that at all. Just literally Don't Cry For Me. We're about to hear it shortly now. She's had other releases, Delusional and Please Just Stay In Love. But before she actually joins the program, in her own words, Mardiana said, Don't Cry For Me is about entering a different phase in your life, possibly going into Dungeons & Dragons, where it's the turning point of stepping into something that's bigger than yourself. For Mardiana, the lyrics are about pursuing her dreams, not letting anything hold her back, and also telling her loved ones not to be worried. Hence the lyrics, The world awaits, I'm on my way, please don't cry for me. So there we are, Mardiana, coming up very shortly. Kathy hopefully will be joining us with respect to that. Tragically, even though it's going to be 9 p.m. in Malaysia, it's going to be far too late in Australia if you'd actually stick with us, Natasha. But that's okay. It is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Time continues on its own way. And I can pretty much guarantee that Richard Fitzwilliams will never and probably has no intention ever of going to see Dungeons & Dragons or indeed checking out the role-playing game accordingly. But that's okay. Again, each to their all. Natasha, it's been great connecting with you, good self. Likewise, Kathy Manso. Happy Easter as the Easter season continues ever onwards. And yes, we'll continue with Mardiana.
On my journey, going solo. Rather stuck in the future than rooted in the past. Living is scary, but my biggest fear is standing still in the same place. Living life on replay. I know they don't understand.
Absolutely sensational. That's all I will say. Absolutely sensational. Don't Cry For Me, the latest song from Mardiana. It's out there now. And as promised, we've got the awesome talent behind Don't Cry For Me on the program now. It is indeed the fabulous Mardiana. How are you, Mardiana?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. Now, I just want to clarify a few things. You're in Malaysia. Whereabouts in Malaysia are you actually based?
I'm in Kuala Lumpur, which is the capital of Malaysia. I was raised here, yes. Been here my whole life.
Excellent. It's always important just to want to clarify things when we actually have our global connection of where people are coming from and so on and so forth. So there we are, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I've got to say, what a great track. But first question, which a number of our listeners have already said, were you tempted to actually go into a song saying, "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina"? Because, of course, that's one of the most classic numbers that Andrew Lloyd Webber produced back in the day.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Have you never heard of "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina"? You may be too young.
I don't think I have, unfortunately, but I will have to check it out after this.
Well, made famous by Julie Covington and also a singer you may have heard of called Madonna. She had a major hit with "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina" as well. So interesting. But clearly, that's nothing like "Don't Cry For Me" because it's not a case of "Don't Cry For Me, Argentina." This is completely different. Tell us more about your thought process behind "Don't Cry For Me."
Well, "Don't Cry For Me" is a track about unapologetically following my dreams. And I think I realized that I wanted to do this when I really stepped into myself and I became confident of who I am, because for so long, and I think a lot of artists can relate to this, we hold ourselves back because we're afraid of judgment and we're afraid of what people think. And "Don't Cry For Me" was me putting my foot down and being like, you know what, I'm good, I'm confident, and I'm gonna go for it. And that's what the song is about. It's about just unapologetically going after what you want.
And it's certainly sort of, it's an anthemic approach that you've actually taken from that point of view. It's not your first entry into the whole thing. And we've designated this an official Mardiana hour in terms of the ways which we're focusing on this. But share with us some of your influences. Who have been the artists who you've kind of thought, yeah, I quite like that approach?
Ooh, I love The Weeknd. He is a huge inspiration for me because he is one of those people who is so uniquely himself. And the thing about The Weeknd is that he doesn't talk a lot. You don't see a lot of his interviews, and everything that he wants to convey is seen through the imagery, the visuals, his videos, and obviously the music. I love that, aspire to be like that. Also, Ariana Grande is one of my biggest influences. I've been a fan for honestly 10 years at this point. So Ariana Grande, and I love and listen to a lot of 80s music. So like Whitney Houston and Queen and like pop music back in the day, Michael Jackson, like those are a lot of my favorites. Yes.
Okay. So some 20th century material you brought to the fore there, which is good from that point of view. But the 21st century, it still resonates. We're going to actually play now one of your classic earlier numbers. It's called Queen's Game. I love the video for this. I thought that was great from that point of view. Was that something, again, you had in mind when you were sort of thinking, or was it just a case of, I always quite like chess?
Oh, goodness. Okay, it's so funny that you bring that up, because that's such an old song, and I don't even think about that song anymore. But when I made that video, it was actually inspired by me losing a game of chess. So I was playing a game of chess with my friend at the time, and he beat me. And he told me, you made one bad move. If you didn't make that one bad move, we would have been even. Like, you could have beat me. And I was like, oh, one bad move. That's a lyric. I'm going to write that down. So I wrote it down. One bad move is all it takes for the queen to win the game. And everything just spiraled from there, and it ended up becoming a whole song. And I think I made that in like a couple hours. Like, probably the whole song just came to me in a couple hours because I was so inspired by what he said. And then it was only natural that when the opportunity for a music video came along, I was like, I'm gonna do chess, because it just feels right. It was what the song was inspired by. And actually, that video was filmed in Oklahoma City in the US, because I used to live there for uni, but I moved back to Malaysia since then. So
she'll play you all night long. She sings songs like a siren, lead you on. Shiny and smooth and appealing, dangerous and cunning and stunning. Silently she'll leave you wanting more. She knows the secret, true winners never surrender. Game. She is reckless, don't try hiding fear behind your smile. Life.
Fabulous Queen's Game there from Mardiana, one of the old school Mardiana numbers, but I'm sure you'll be called upon when you do the pop concert tours to actually say, we want to have Queen's Game, we want some Queen's Game there. Looking at, obviously, Don't Cry For Me, your latest single, it's been described as buoyantly optimistic and indeed a combination of synth pop with, of course, the debut your debut album, also called Don't Cry For Me. Was that a theme you actually wanted to put into the actual work itself? Because, I mean, I was fascinated in one of the reviews. I saw the way in which you actually draw upon a window into the early 2020s life, both the Roman calendar, the Gregorian calendar, and, of course, the circadian rhythms of the human clock. Is that something which you kind of had in mind, or was it just a case of, look, I studied in America, I'm living in Kuala Lumpur, obviously my time zones are going to be all over the place?
Well, I don't think that was actually part of my inspiration. I think the writer of that article put their own interpretation on that. So actually, I don't think that was my idea or my intention. It was more of the interpretation of the person who wrote that. It wasn't really my idea. It's just what the writer thought.
It's the old classic literary thing that once you've released the novel or you've released the piece of music into the ether, it's up to the audience to make of it what they will, which is so it goes. So
yeah, I think that's cool.
I've got to ask the question, Mardiana. You were over in America. You studied over there. What did you study at university?
I did media, so anything to do with a camera, anything related to broadcasting, photography, documentary and filmmaking, all of that was what I did. I even did radio. So it's really cool that I'm talking to you now for a radio show. And I used to be a radio host back in uni. I was a journalist, a news anchor, and I basically did everything to do with media. But at the end of it all, my heart was still called to do music. And it was just something I couldn't ignore. You know, I feel like when something keeps calling you, like when it's your calling, you know, it's only a matter of time before you feel like, I got to pick up the phone. So that's why I started to do music, even though my entire university degree was in media.
So, I mean, as I often say to students at the University of Lincoln, it's not the degree you choose to do. It's what you do with the degree that actually is the key manifesto in life, etc.
Yes, so, agree.
You're over in Kuala Lumpur now. Is that going to be your main base of operations? Or is it a case of, no, I might go up to Norway. I might go up to Los Angeles. Who knows where I could go?
I mean, if the opportunity comes up, I'm not going to say no. Like, if anything exciting comes my way, I'll definitely grab it. I definitely hope to expand to different countries, play shows there, work with producers and songwriters in different regions. Like, I think that's the best way to learn, is to actually, like, put yourself in those places. But for now, my home base is Kuala Lumpur, and I am working like remotely out of my own home. A lot of the producers that I work with are not even based in Malaysia, actually. For my first album, I worked with a producer. His name is Rory. Shout out to Rory. He is based in Australia, Western Australia. And currently I'm working on a couple of collaborations with other artists and producers from the UK and also South America. So that's very exciting. Everyone's just all over the place and completely remote. Yeah.
One of the things we used to speak about until relatively recently, of course, was how musicians had coped with the COVID-19 lockdown. And some musicians said that they really thrived under it. They quite liked not having the pressure of going on tour and such like. They were happy to work at home, work on their craft and so on. Others thought actually it was dreadful. They just had all sorts of other challenges with it. How did you find the whole experience?
I loved it. It was incredibly refreshing because at the time of lockdown, I was in uni and classes got canceled, assignments got canceled. So I was like so pumped. I was like, I'm out of here. But in terms of music, actually, it gave me a lot of time to actually work on projects. And I think that's when I realized that I actually enjoyed my alone time a lot, because it allowed me to be creative and just like in my own space, you know? And I think that's when I also realized that I was an introvert, because I always thought I was an extrovert, like loved going out, loved going, you know, to meet new people and all these things. But spent having so much time to yourself and being forced to be by yourself made me realize that I actually really enjoyed it. And I really leaned into like my creative callings. And I think that helped me a lot with like pushing me to be an artist. Yeah. But how was it for you, though? Like, how was it in the UK?
Well, from my own point of view, a lot of the courses were delivered via hybrid teaching. So sometimes I'd be actually teaching students face to mask, so to speak. Other times it would be a case of we'd be just online. I think taking on board what you've just said, I think there is a lot we could actually learn from lockdown. And the bonuses. I mean, what we're doing now is one of those added bonuses, because pre-lockdown, I probably would have trotted over to a studio. You would have had to go to a studio. We could have connected via phone lines, etc. But, you know, I think there have been positives that have come out of it. And speaking of positives, maybe we're just being delusional. Yes, it's another track that we've actually selected to play at the in this Mardiana special that we got. Share with us, what is delusional all about? Is it basically what it says on the title? It's don't be delusional.
That transition was so smooth. I love how you just put it in there. Amazing. Delusional, actually. It's a funny story. My friend, you know, was telling me about her relationship problems, you know, like as we do in our 20s, we date the wrong people. And my friend was telling me a story of how she dated this guy that treated her really badly. But then when she finally decided to move on from him, he tried to come back to her life. And he was like, hey, do you want to go out? Like, I miss you. I want to see you. And she was like, you're crazy. Like, you're delusional for thinking I would want you back after you treated me like that. So I could relate to her because I've also experienced similar things where like people don't appreciate you and they treat you badly, but they want to come back into your life after you decide you're done with them. It's just frustrating because, you know, that's how I came up with the line, you're delusional. Did you think I would wait for you after all this time? And that's the story of the song. So it was partly inspired by a friend's experience and also inspired by my experience with like a similar situation.
A ghost. Now you say you wanna see me. Oh, how funny. That's what I begged you to do initially. You're delusional. Did you think I'd wait for you after all this time? No. Please. Cause now you miss my affection. You knew I had good intentions. Crazy. When you see me thriving, the king of all pity parties, found someone new to replace me. Crazy. phantom. Tossing and turning is keeping you up. Didn't expect me to move on so fast. You thought you had the upper hand. Bet it was fun, but it was easy to manipulate and play with my feelings. And now look who's surprised. You're delusional. Did you think I'd wait for you after all this time? No. About the tables, they gon' turn. Think about karma, you gon' get what you deserve. One thing about them tables, they gon' turn, 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 turn. Think about karma, you gon' get what you deserve. Takes you a while to feel sorry. Kicks in when you're fucking lonely. When you see me thriving, the king of all pity parties, found someone new to replace me. Crazy, how you feel like the victor, playing the victim. You're
the best way forward with respect to that. Okay, we've heard a couple of tracks. We've had three tracks so far in terms of your awesome material so far that you put together. We talked about some of the people that have inspired you from the musical field. Do you have any other inspirations from the point of view, I don't know, politics, or from the point of view of writers, authors, actors, media folk, anybody who you kind of think, yeah, unless I actually get my fix of this particular inspirational writer, I just can't do anything?
Oh, well, I draw a lot of inspiration from, I think, philosophy. So it's funny, I have it like tattooed on me right here. It's this tattoo right here. It says Amor Fati. Have you heard of it?
It does strike a chord, but give me the translation of the Latin. Love is all, basically. Is that right?
Well, amor is love. That's, yep. You're right about that. Fati means fate. So like love fate. And I think to some people, it sounds like you're being complacent, like you're just accepting whatever life gives you, but it's actually quite the opposite. Amor fati means like seeing the best out of every situation. So if anything bad happens to you, you just sit back and you're able to recognize that, okay, this is the situation. What can I do with this? How can I get the best out of this? How can I move on given the bad circumstances that I'm in right now? It's a very delusionally optimistic mindset to have. And I love it because I'm such an optimistic person and I try to make things work despite the odds. Like, you know, I'm not in the US right now. And obviously the music industry in the US is like, you know, where it's at. And me being in Malaysia, it's not where it's at, right? It's not. But me being the optimist that I am, I just choose to believe that if I keep working hard, this, you know, like despite the odds, I'll be able to get closer to my goals. And that's what I'm really inspired by, is like coming back to your question, writers who write about philosophy and self-belief and like the powers of the universe. Yeah, a lot of that. I love philosophy. Well, I love reading about it. So, yeah.
You might like one of our regular contributors from Florida, actually, Mike Dooley, whose classic line is, thoughts become things, choose the good ones, which is always important, really.
Oh, I agree. 100%. I really believe that you have the power to like make your thoughts become reality. Whatever you think about, it's going to manifest itself. I really believe that. Yeah.
We were talking earlier in this hour to Natasha Wanton. She's one of our Australian correspondents. We do have a global reach from that perspective. What about favourite countries for yourself? I mean, obviously, you've been in the US, from Malaysia. What other countries have you visited or would you like to visit in terms of the Mardiana 2023-24 global tour?
Oh, goodness. I want to go everywhere. I love traveling. I love photography. As I mentioned, I have a degree in media, so I did a lot of photography. I would love to just travel to all the countries that I can and just take pictures, literally just take pictures. But for now, I think a huge travel goal is Japan. I would love to go to Japan, Tokyo specifically. I think the energy is just so electric. I have been around the US quite a good bit, and I really enjoyed New York and Chicago. I'm a big city kid, so I love any big city. I would also love to visit London. I've been there when I was really young, but I was too young to remember anything. So I want to go back and like claim back all my memories that I'm supposed to have.
And there's always Lincoln, England, of course, which is as opposed to Lincoln, Nebraska, which is where Siren Radio is based. So you can 126 miles north of London. So there we are. If you're in the region, drop by. We have an awful lot of connections. We used to do a joint degree with KDU Penang University, which is another sort of line entirely. So, yeah, it all works. Awesome. You talked about The Weeknd earlier. Do you have a favorite Weeknd track?
So many. I love Save Your Tears because it's a collaboration he did with Ariana Grande and I love her. I also love In Your Eyes by The Weeknd. That's such a good one.
So if I was to push you, In Your Eyes or the Ariana Grande compilation, which one would you go for?
Ooh, don't do this to me. I love both. I'm going to say In Your Eyes. It just hits different. It hits deep. Yeah.
When I look at you in your eyes, I see there's something burning inside you. Oh, inside you. In your eyes, I know it hurts to smile, but you try to. Oh, you try to. You always try to hide the pain. You always know just what to say. I always look the other way. When I look at you in your eyes,
there's something burning inside you. Oh, inside you. You always try to hide the pain. You always know just what to say. I always look the other way. I'm blind, I'm blind. Your eyes, you lie, but I don't let it define you. Oh, define you.
You're listening to Siren Radio, and it's the focus on Mariette Mardiana, a songstress from Malaysia. We're delighted to actually have you on board. In fact, funny enough, Mardiana, we might, if we can get the time schedules coordinated, we'd love to invite you on one of our New York podcasts that we do with Pamela Sue Mann, who's a singer-songwriter based in New York. Obviously, it's called New York Real Talk. We might have to get her up a bit earlier in the day, shall we say, to do the piece. But I'm sure it'll be feasible, you know, so it's not too late in the night for yourself whilst we coordinate it. It can happen, I'm sure.
That would be amazing. I would love that. And just let me know what time it is. I'll make it work. I would love that.
Good stuff. This is positivity personified, which is great stuff. What about the way in which fans, and I'm sure there are a growing number of Mardiana fans who'll be out there wanting to find out more details. What's the best way to follow you? Are you more of an Instagram person? Are you a traditional Facebook soul? Do you sometimes step into TikTok? What are your kind of social outlets?
I'm very active on Instagram. So my Instagram handle is @Mardiana, my name, Mardiana.x. I'm also trying to post consistently on TikTok, as it is one of the largest growing social platform. So my TikTok is mardiana.mp3. So if people want to follow me, they can do it there. I am also on Facebook, but I am not active there. Yeah.
It's interesting how Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook seems to have gone very quiet, but it's still there. I mean, we'll post sort of links on Facebook every so often. And of course, you don't mention Twitter. Well, why would you? Elon Musk looks after Twitter. So why do you want to actually go down that route? You're quite amazing. It's been awesome sharing some thoughts with you, good soul. Got a couple of final questions before we go into the final outlet and another reprise of Don't Cry For Me. I can't believe you never heard of Don't Cry For Me Argentina, though, which is in many ways it's a lot slower. It's not as pacey, but it's a more evocative number. In fact, shall we play it now and then you can listen to it and then come back to it again and we'll have a listen to what you think of Don't Cry For Me Argentina?
Sure, by all means.
I had to change. Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. And as for fortune, and as for fame, I never invited them in. Though it seemed to the world they were all I desired, they are illusions, they're not the solutions they promised to be. The answer was here all the time. I love you and hope you love me. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. Have I said too much? There's nothing more I can think of to say to you. But all you have to do is look at me to know that every word is true.
Okay, there we are. Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, as sung by Madonna. But we have Mardiana, who's got her own Don't Cry For Me. No country. Don't Cry For Me, Kuala Lumpur. No. No. Don't Cry For Me, Malaysia. No. Don't Cry For Me, Oklahoma. No. Just Don't Cry For Me. We're about to hear it again now. Two final questions for you, Mardiana. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today? Has it been okay for you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's customer satisfaction tick, which is good from that point of view. Smiley face. Yeah. Excellent. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again? Will you be kind enough to join us from your base in Kuala Lumpur or wherever in the world you happen to be? Will you be happy to come back to the Midweek Drive and possibly do a live stint with us?
That would be amazing. I would love that. I mean, you have my email. You know where to find me. You know where to find my socials. Yeah, just let me know.
Mardiana, it's been awesome. Would you like to finally introduce your good self singing what we actually introduced this little epic with a few moments ago? Don't Cry For Me. Over to you, Mardiana.
Should I just introduce my album? Oh, okay. Hey, everyone. My name is Mardiana. I'm a singer, songwriter, music producer from Kuala Lumpur. And my latest album, Don't Cry For Me, is out now on all streaming platforms. So you can go check it out.
On my journey, going solo, rather stuck in the future than rooted in the past. Leaving is scary, but my biggest fear is standing still in the same place, living life on replay. I don't understand.
This is